Emma, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, in the grand scheme of things, how do you regard the significance of cancel culture or deplatforming within different creative industries?
Well, the article that you referred to, Catherine Strong, who's a sociologist at RMIT specialising in popular culture, and I wrote that article because we felt that while sometimes the motivations for cancel culture are very good, it can be problematic. It's not a straightforward kind of an issue because, as you've highlighted, and I haven't heard of this one before either, where somebody or an argument is made that somebody should not receive a platform due to an anti-mask view, you know, there's all sorts of reasons what people give why you might want to cancel performance or not give a platform to somebody. And not all of those reasons are potentially equally good reasons, and we have to think very carefully about the details of each case when it comes before us.
Absolutely.
So I think it is quite important to think carefully about it, and I'm not sure that the careful thought is always going on at the moment.
Yeah, and kind of on that point, you know, big national radio stations have been known to kind of silently blacklist problematic artists from their airwaves. So working on a case-by-case basis, do you think this could be an appropriate response to artist controversy?
Catherine and I, when we're still looking at ways to think through when it might be and when it might not be. So where we're at the moment is thinking about, well, exactly what has this person done? Have they done something more than just professing a view? I mean, professing a view of a given kind can be harmful, and certainly anti-mask views, as we've seen, have been very harmful overseas. Thankfully, we haven't had so many of them here. But so have they professed a view? Have they done something which is problematic? So, and we've seen other cases of this where, you know, there's been, you know, violence or sexual abuse or, you know, other kind of perhaps consummation of child sexual abuse materials or child sexual abuse. We've seen artists in all of those categories who've have undertaken those actions, and sometimes those actions have even been, you know, proven in court. So sometimes there's a rumour, sometimes there are multiple rumours, and it looks like it's pretty likely that it's never been proven in court. Sometimes it's been proven in court. They're all kind of escalating kinds of harm. But even then, there's also a question of, well, what stance does the person take towards their behaviour later on? Do they, you know, do they just kind of shut up about it and hope that nobody notices it? Do they say, I was wrong, I will not be doing that again, and I'll be speaking out, you know, to try to help other people not to do it, or I will be donating a proportion of my income, you know, to a cause that helps people of the kind that I harmed? You know, there's all sorts of complexities, the kind of things that can happen in terms of action. In this case, in the Ziggy case, there are words that have been spoken which can promote harm if people follow them. And in this case, I would say it is a slightly more problematic case because I don't think myself, and we could argue about this, that the view that, you know, the mask policy of the kind that was enacted in Melbourne is, for the kind of benefits that it seeks, I don't think that that mask policy, it does exert some harm, and I think there's been a lot rightly written to that and attention given to some of those harms of kind of locking down communities and, you know, forcing people to wear masks, which I think mask wearing is considerably less of a harm than locking down communities. But, you know, nonetheless, there is some harm done, but there's great benefit gained. So in that case, I think maybe there's not a great case for professing the anti-mask view, and that's something that we need to take into account too. So there's all sorts of minority views, some of which might be better based on, you know, good evidence and sound argument, and some of which are not, and we can all probably call to mind some examples of minority views that are not so based on good argument and sound evidence. So is Ziggy Andrews a case of, you know, where he should be deplatformed? I think it's not entirely clear, but there's Yeah, there's a question, I think, about whether calling attention to that kind of behaviour later on can actually give the view more airtime than it deserves too. So I think it's, yeah, this is quite a unusual case, and I think, like a lot of these cases, not so clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, well, that's exactly it, because when it comes down to it, it's like giving the platform itself that can potentially create harm. So kind of going off of that, what do you think are some of like the potential dangers that come with continuing to give problematic but more so harmful problematic views like Ziggy Albert's anti-mask views a platform, considering the influence that they have on their following?
Look, I think one of the background issues with the Ziggy Albert's case is how central was that view to what was going to be done on the platform he was given. So if what was happening was he was playing songs which didn't relate to that and it didn't come up in the platform, there's kind of a question about how centrally you align what an artist says in one place and might say in one song with, you know, the whole of their work, I think. So I think that's one of the complexities in that case. I think in other words, what I'm trying to say is I think that kind of case could be quite different from the kind of cases which we see elsewhere where, you know, there are media outlets which now don't give any place to climate change deniers. They don't give any place to white supremacists because, you know, the evidence is in on how harmful those views are and how much harm they're causing to continue to have sort of so-called debate on this issue when actually the evidence is very clear. But that's usually in a context where there's a debate going on specifically about those issues, whereas I don't think that was what was happening, you know, on the largely music-based platform that that Ziggy was on and that Julia was on at the same time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there's a question about, well, what's the platform doing? What's it set up to do?
Of course.
And those harmful views can be more harmful when they're the main focus for the platform.
Right, yeah. So kind of quick touching base, last but certainly not least, how do you think big companies like, you know, music company Mushroom Group or the ABC and Triple J, how do you think that they should kind of navigate themselves around controversies involving artists, kind of given their potential significant control over the music space?
I think they need to think very carefully about it. And have a, you know, because they will be challenged on that. And that's a good thing, that we live in a society where they can be challenged on that. And it can be very harmful, obviously, to a musician's career if, and not just their career, but, you know, most musicians, there are other people they work with who may or may not share their harmful views or their harmful actions, who will also be kind of collateral damage of any kind of blackout of their or deplatforming of their work. So I think, I wouldn't say that cancel culture or deplatforming should never happen, but I think where it does happen, there needs to be, whether or not the case for it is made clear, there needs to be a case in terms of the broadcasting service about why they made that decision. Because those people have a responsibility, the broadcaster has a responsibility, not only to the arts community broadly, but also to the listeners, to try to make wise and what I would call defensible decisions in those cases. Then it's not a decision to be taken lightly, I would say.
Right, absolutely. Emma, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really, really great to discuss this.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure.